Well, good morning, everyone. This is Sonia Clark. I'm just going to be in for Sharon today. And it's a little bit before 7. Today is June 13th. And this is the 14th day of the month of Sivan on the Hebrew calendar. Just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. I guess I'll give it just a minute for others to get on. But Sharon is on an amazing little vacation right now with Grace. And I'm just going to share a few thoughts on what the Holy Spirit has given me this morning. I'm going to go ahead and start. And what the Lord has given me this morning to share with you for just a little while is about what's going on in our country and some of the plans of the enemy. And we all know what's going on. And so I want to talk to you about how the enemy uses different tactics. He's using it against the country. And he's using it in our individual lives. Same plan. He doesn't have anything new, does he? He's a created being. He has nothing new under the sun. All he has the power over us is the power of lies, right? So I want to talk to you about some iniquity today. I want to talk to you about his plans and how we are not deceived by his plans. Excuse me. We know that the end-time deception, according to 2 Timothy 2, he talks about that the end times will be full of deception. People will be lovers of self, disobedient to parents. I'm going to go straight to that scripture. And that is the plan of the enemy in this time. And so what we want to do is make sure that our hearts are clean and we can see. 2 Timothy 3, actually, but understand this, verse 1, that in the last days there will come times of stress. How many can say yes? For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, is what my Bible says, fierce haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people. So we know what the enemy does. He is trying to bring all of this into our nation, and we know that we as a remnant people, as a people whose eyes are opened, who are awakened to God and know what the enemy is trying to do, we can see that happening in our country. And I'm thinking even right now about this ridiculous January 6th thing that they're doing against Trump. And when we look in the book of Nehemiah, and if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to that, Nehemiah, this is exactly where we are. In the book of Nehemiah, what the enemy wants to do is use accusations, ridicule, just what he's doing right now in our country, and we're going to look at a few scriptures in just a second. He uses deception, and everything that the enemy is using in our nation is what he used back in the book of Nehemiah and all throughout the Word. He's doing the same thing again. And if we look at a global view and a national view, we can see he's doing it everywhere. Not only that, if we take that and give it like a microscope into our own hearts, God is cleaning us up at the same time as well. So there is a plan here. We don't always know what he's doing. I know a lot of people have been through hard trials. God is burning out things of our own self-life that need to be dealt with. So I'm going to talk about a few of those things today. In the book of Nehemiah 4. Let me give you a little background. In the book of Nehemiah, if you'll recall with me, God has taken Israel and taken them into captivity to Babylon. And in Babylon, they had to stay there for 70 years in the book of Daniel. Daniel says he was reading the book in Jeremiah, the scroll of Jeremiah, and he goes, oh, we are to be in captivity for 70 years. After 70 years, they are let out of captivity. They went in because of disobedience. And now in the book of Nehemiah, there is a king, Cyrus, who Nehemiah said, let him go. They let some of the remnant go back to Israel to rebuild the temple. And Nehemiah was charged with building the wall around Jerusalem. Now, here's the plot of the enemy. We want to pull the curtain back and look at what he's done. The name Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah means the Holy Spirit. It means the comforter. Right now, we need our comforter, right? We need so bad, we need our Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit to just breathe life into us, to keep our vision sharp against all of what's going on so that we can see what the enemy is doing and we will not fall for his devices, right? In Nehemiah 4, here's the enemy right here. Now when Sanballat, verse 1, Sanballat, his name means hate in disguise. Hate in disguise, or the enemy is secret. Now, those that are falling for the whole January 6th ridiculous show that is on TV now so that they think everybody is interested, which I don't know how many people are even care anymore, this is hate in disguise. This is the enemy is secret for those who have not been open. Their eyes have been open to it, right? So we're trying to build the wall. They're trying to build the wall. God's plan was for Nehemiah and the Holy Spirit build the wall around Jerusalem. Jerusalem always means the place of peace. God is building a church. He's building his church. He's building his wall. And Ezra, the book of Ezra, right before Nehemiah, is when the temple was being restored, was being rebuilt. And if you go back and read the book of Ezra, you can see it was built on the foundation of worship, was built on the foundation of unity and worship. God is rebuilding a church. He is getting things out of the church, the remnant, the body of Christ. He's getting the things out of there that don't belong anymore. We don't want to be like 2 Timothy 3, right? We don't want to be lovers of self. We all, let's be honest, we've all got self in us. But it's our heart to please God and to look like Jesus, right? So back to the book of Nehemiah. We know that verse 1, now when Sanballat, remember I said hate in disguise? That's the enemy. Heard that we were building the wall. He was angry and greatly enraged. And here, what did he do? He ridiculed. First thing the enemy is going to do is he's going to ridicule you. He's going to send people to ridicule you. It's persecution, really. Nehemiah built this wall in the midst of ridicule. Verse 2, and he said in the presence of his brethren and of the army of Samaria, here's his ridicule, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Well, this is just pure ridicule, and that's what they're doing now. And that's how the enemy works in you as well. He just brings ridicule. Verse 4. Here's Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, yes, what they are building, and he's making fun of them here, ridicule, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. All right, so verse 6 says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together half its height, for the people had a mind to work. You have to have a mind to work to overcome the enemy. You have to have a mind to pray. You have to have a mind to stay steadfast, courageous, and understand, be able to speak to those that are put in your path about what God is doing and how the enemy has this plot and plan to stop our nation, to stop you as an individual. Verse 7, but when Sanballat, hate in disguise, and Tobiah, and the Arabs, Arabs means actually to lie in ambush. So that's what the enemy does. He lies in ambush, just waiting, right? And the Ammonites, which are people of strength, and the Ashdodites, which means to oppress, when they heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward, when others hear, when our country is trying to be put back, God is putting back our nation, like he did under Trump, to righteousness, when they heard of the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were angry. Well, that's the enemy, right? And they all plotted to come together and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Whoa, that is what's going on right now. Whether it is in the national level, or I think it's probably going on in all of our individual lives, God is rooting out, cleaning out, making us a pure and spotless bride. Just a personal story real quick. About 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, no, it had to be three, I woke up. It was not a dream. It was an audible voice in my sleep. And when I woke up, I remembered I had heard this audible voice, and it said, endure hardship as a good soldier. Yikes. I'm like, oh, there was no fear. But I was like, you know how you do. Oh, maybe I really didn't hear that. No, I heard it. I knew I heard it. But it's just, I knew something was about to happen. So I looked it up. I didn't even know where it was, to be honest with you. I looked it up and found it in 2 Timothy 2. And there are times where we just have to endure hardship as a good soldier and know that the Lord is doing a deep work in our souls, right? Because our spirit man is saved, but our souls, our mind, our will, and emotion, we have to line that up with the Word of God and with the Lord. So it was probably 4 days later that I entered into a severe trial. But I found out that I'm not the only one. There are a lot of us that are just, we're being purified more. We think, how much more pure can we get? Oh, we can get much more pure. And we're going to be like that shining gold where the Lord sees his reflection in our hearts, right? So back to Nehemiah. So we know that the first thing that hate in disguise or the enemy is secret that lies in ambush in verse 7, they are going to try to stop the rebuilding of Jerusalem around the walls in Jerusalem. That is what the enemy does to us too. Same thing that he does, tries to stop us from going forward, right? And verse 8 says, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause confusion. Well, in the midst of trial, sometimes that is the first thing that happens. Oh my gosh, what's going on? But here, verse 9, and we pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. So here's our answer. We pray and we look into our own hearts to say, Lord, is there anything in me that you want to deal with? That's what I do. The first thing, God, what is it in me? Because sometimes in the midst of fire, always in the midst of fire, we can see what the Lord is wanting to do. What are you wanting to get rid of? Is there something in me? Because when we are walking through the fire, we are more attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I have to say. So verse 10 in Nehemiah 4:10, but Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, and there is much rubbish. Whoa. Don't we look at our own souls and see if there's any rubbish? So what's the enemy doing here? He's going to bring discouragement. How many have been walking through places of discouragement where we, you know what, this is not courage. It's not courage. We are not able to work on the wall. And our enemy said, verse 11, he will not know or see till we come into the midst of them and kill them and stop the work. Well, here he's going to use deception. They're not even going to know. We're going to go in the middle of them and nobody's going to know. We're going to be so secret. Remember, Sanballat's name means the enemy is secret. We want to be wise, wise stewards, right? Wise virgins, keep the oils and the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lamp, and we will see what the enemy's doing in it. And I think that it's pretty obvious what he's doing on a national level and been doing on a national level. But sometimes it's harder to see what he's doing in our family and in our own personal lives, because there are things working where the enemy has kept maybe children, husbands, ourselves in prisons of lies, because that's what a stronghold is. Let's look at ourselves individually. Now let's take the focus off the national, go individually. Same tactics, deception, accusation, and as we read on in the book of Nehemiah, fear. Same tactics nationally in each one of the seven mountains. He's going to use all of that, and then he's going to focus it in on our soul. Same tactics, but the thing is with us, like I said, sometimes it's harder to recognize because these have been repeated patterns in our family line. They call them familiar spirit. Familiar meaning family, the root word family, and familiar, we get so used to them that we don't even notice them being there. Perhaps it's fear. Perhaps it's depression. Perhaps it's some type of iniquity that's been in the family line and you're trying to walk out of it, whether it's something with its drug abuse, alcoholism, any one of those are iniquitous patterns that have gone from the family line. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be anything, as in, like I said, fear. Fear is a big one. And right now, with everything going on in the world, that is one I feel like that enemy is absolutely targeting in all of us so that we would not succumb to that. And what is the opposite of that? Well, yes, it's faith, I know, but it's also trusting God. It's developing a place of trust in the Lord to know that he is our Father and he won't ever let us go. And we have to take our scriptures, because sometimes it comes down to that. We just have to say, Lord, your word says, and that's our battle plan. That's our fight. All right, back to Nehemiah. Let's find out what else the enemy is using. He said in verse 10, he's using discouragement. The strength of the burden bearers is failing. There's much rubbish, and we are not able to work on the wall. Verse 11, and our enemy said, they will not know or see when we come into the midst of them and kill them and stop the work. Okay, so we said deception. So we've said that he's using accusation, ridicule, discouragement, and deception right in here in these first 12 verses. Verse 12, when the Jews who lived by them came, they said to us 10 times. Why did they say this 10 times? Well, what did they say? From all the places where they live, they will come up against us. 10 is always the number of testing. 10 means testing. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, verse 13, Nehemiah stationed the people according to their families. See, this is a family war. We're in war to keep our family strong. You as intercessors, you as a remnant people of God, you as the bride of Christ is who I'm talking to. You fight for your families. You see, you're like watchmen on the wall. You see what the enemy's doing in your nation and in your families and in your lives. You see his plan here through these different things I've talked about, and there are times of testing. So Nehemiah stations people according to their families and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, here's his encouragement. Remember, Nehemiah means Holy Spirit, consolation, comforter. Here's what the Holy Spirit says to us today. Do not be afraid of them. So what's the devil doing? Fear. Do not. Here's the Holy Spirit's admonition to you and me today. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great, and my Bible says terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. In other words, be courageous and fight. And then verse 15 says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan. See, they had stopped working because of all these enemy tactics. We all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day, verse 16, from that day on, half of the servants worked on construction. So you're constructing. And half of them held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind all the house of Judah. And let's skip down to verse 19. Well, verse 18. And each of the builders had his sword girded at his side while he built. So you are building your house. We are building our nation back. God is doing it through the Holy Spirit, right? He's giving us direction. We are praying. We are warring. We are worshiping. We are building foundations. God is building the foundations, but he uses man because he stationed us here in the earth for this time, for right now, to be the ones that he's going to use to do that. And so we fight for our families. We fight for our nation. And so verse 18, each of the builders had a sword girded at his side while he built. That's a sword of the Spirit, right? The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Well, that sounds like Holy Spirit to me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, but we are separated. Verse 20, in the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and our God will fight for us. So, there's the enemy plan. All of those that I've mentioned, accusation, ridicule, lying in ambush, fear, deception. He used it against Israel. He's using it against us individually in our own lives. And so I want to just pull back the curtain this morning just to give us a picture of what he might be doing in your life, what he's doing, and I'm sure you've already seen that. And then I won't go into this next part, but in chapter 5, if you have time today and you want to study, what is the enemy up to? What is planned? He has nothing new under the sun, right? In chapter 5, they're now rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they have had to press through all of the other stuff the enemy is doing because all that accusation, and today, how does he do that? He accuses you to yourself. You didn't do that good enough. Nobody likes you if you deal with rejection. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. He accuses you to yourself. He accuses you to God in the courts of heaven. He'll accuse you to others. Well, she never did like me. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I'm not worth it. No one will listen to me. Whatever your accusation is, whatever in your own individual life is a stronghold, this is what the enemy will use against you. That's why it's so important to be free, because remember, Jesus came to set the captives free, and we don't want to be captive to any of his lies. And listen, we all got them. We've all got them. I don't care who you are. Pride is the biggest one. And so in chapter 5 of Nehemiah, like I said, you can go read it later on, but the next tactic that he used is he started pitting the Jews against one another that were on the wall. And so the next weapon that the enemy used is offense. And that's surely another big one today. And as you read this, the enemy began to just use them to offend one another about their taxes. They were taxing each other. They wanted their money because they were taking money from one group, giving it to another group. So it's offense. And so that's another tactic today, and it's been the same thing for centuries, but I don't know about you, but it's just like so in our face today, the offense and all of the enemy is doing. So as I'm bringing this to a close, let's just look into our own hearts right now. That is definitely on the national level and also in our own personal lives. So we know Proverbs 26:2 says, a causeless curse cannot alight. A causeless curse cannot alight. So what does that mean? That means if there's no cause, then the enemy can't come in our own personal lives, right? We know we can look at that on a national level. Let's just talk about abortion. When there is blood that has been spilled. We know that blood has a voice. Hebrews tells us that the voice of Jesus' blood cries out. We know that the Cain and Abel, when Cain slew Abel at the beginning in Genesis, that Abel's blood cried out. So we have all this murder, and we have on the national level, we have the blood crying out, Lord, how long? How long? Remember the book of Revelation. How long until you avenge? And so we know that that's just one of many, many things, right? We could go into that, which we won't have time to. But on an individual, back to the individual basis, a causeless curse cannot alight. So we just want to check our own souls, our own hearts. Lord, is there something that is causing? Sometimes there's nothing. Sometimes God is wanting us to just be cleansed and takes us through the fire because there's things that we don't see. You can't just be so introspective sometimes where you try to make up stuff, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we know that there are situations in our life that is not right, we want to be honest, and we need to look in our own hearts and say, what is it, Lord? So curses get a legal right, and we remove it through the blood. That way curses cannot operate in our own life. It's kind of like building a birdhouse. If you have a birdhouse or a nest close by or really any animal, and it looks so cute. I saw yesterday something that popped up on one of my pages, and it was somebody had a tortoise that lived under her bed. I'm like, okay. So he comes and goes as he wants. I don't know if she must live in some warm climate, but I thought, well, does he poo everywhere? I mean, what about the mess that you're constantly having to clean up? And that's what, it looks so cute. It looks so innocuous. It looks so tame. It looks like it wouldn't be a problem, but there's the cleanup. And if you have an animal, you know, there's the cleanup. There's the accidents in the house. There's the whatever. And you have to work to keep this animal, whether it's a cute little bird, or whether it's a nest outside your house. All of them are so cute. The tortoise, he was cute. He lived under her bed. I thought, that is a prophetic picture. Not that the tortoise is a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. But a picture of how the enemy just wants to live a nice, quiet life. And something, you know, it can be, I mean, sometimes we don't even recognize fear as totally being the enemy. Fear is one of those things where, talking about the book of Nehemiah, the enemy is secret. He comes in through a lot of fear in generations. And if you've had to stand against the spirit of fear, you know what I'm talking about. Your mom walked in fear, your grandmother walked in fear, anxiety, depression, etc. And you've been called for such a time as this to stand against that. That's one of those things. So let's look in our individual lives. Again, we can go to even look at Genesis 4:6, where it all started, where I just talked about Cain and Abel, where Cain killed his brother, right? And before that, God said, sin is crouching at the door, and you better master it, Cain. But Cain did not master it. So these strongholds are things in our mind that come against us like a nest, and that just makes a mess, or the tortoise underneath our bed. So a stronghold in our mind is like a fortress with structures. It's all made up of lies. So we have to be discerners of our own hearts and find out accusations that the enemy's brought against us. We see his plans on the national level. I think it's kind of easy to see those right now. But we get somewhat blinded about our own selves, right? Or our family. So the enemy just comes to defile us and pollute our own lives. And so we just want to combat that with the blood of Jesus and repentance. Repentance is a huge factor. When you repent, whether you did it or not, now we didn't even read in the book of Nehemiah. We started with chapter 4. But if you go back to Nehemiah 1, one of the first things that Nehemiah did, the first thing Nehemiah did was he repented on a national scale. Did he repent for himself? Yes, he did. Was he guilty of all of this that he said? No, probably not. Same with the book of Daniel. Daniel says, I and my people have sinned. And we as Americans, we can say, even if you never had an abortion, let's just take that one. I and the people of my nation have sinned, God. We have, you know, we've had our part. Our hands are bloody because we haven't done our part. And so we identify, it's called identification repentance. We identify with the sins of our nation. And so on an individual basis with our families, we say, Lord, please forgive. And so we repent, we turn away from, and we call in for the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaks. It speaks deliverance. It speaks freedom. And it turns the captivity, because when we identify a lie, we repent for it, and we ask for Holy Spirit to come and fill our hearts again, fill our minds, because our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? And one of the most powerful scriptures is 2 Corinthians. Let me see if I can find it for you. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but divine power to destroy strongholds. That's reasonings. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and we take every thought. Here's your warfare. Every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So when you see that you're believing a lie, and how do you understand if you're believing a lie? Holy Spirit, Nehemiah, think about that analogy. Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind, or you'll be confronted with somebody else. You'll see it with somebody else, and you'll be in relationship. Perhaps it's your husband, your children. Maybe it's a friend, a coworker. But all of a sudden, you'll see something. Oh, Mom, I believed a lie. And so you punish that disobedience. You say, I will not do that. Father, forgive me. I just repent. Maybe it's offense. We have to forgive. Forgiveness is the huge. Forgiveness is number one. I've been ministering to somebody, and look, it doesn't mean that they didn't do that to you. It doesn't mean you're getting them letting them off the hook. You're giving them to the Lord and letting God deal with them. But your heart, we have to forgive. Forgiveness is the biggest one. And so, almost finished. So, one of the big things I see today in different churches, there has been a war against repentance. I have had this personally come in a church we belong to. It was probably 7 years ago now, but the pastor was actually up at the front saying that there is no longer a need for repentance. I heard it with my own ears, and of course we left. Because that, have you noticed that? Because this mega grace, which we all love grace, right? We need it. I need it. But this hyper, super grace type, you can do whatever you want, that is wrong. No wonder there's a war against repentance these days, because it is such a powerful force. And so we know that Nehemiah and Daniel, they came, they repented for their nation, first thing they did, and then they rebuilt the temple and the wall around it. So we repent, we allow Holy Spirit to come into and clean up our own lives, and then we can rebuild. And that's what 2 Corinthians 10 is about. We destroy every argument, take it captive to Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience, okay? So I just wanted to take a look this morning at the national, what's going on in the nation, and what might be going on in our own lives. Remember, the enemy is secret, but you have Holy Spirit, which is like I want to call it like a decoder ring. Do you remember when you were a kid, maybe? And this is how old I am. You would have like these cereal boxes. I don't know about you, but we used to, in the old days, we have our cereal in the morning and build our little wall around us with our cereal boxes and read on the back of it. And some of them would have these pictures that you couldn't tell what it was. But if you put the decoder glasses on, which were like some red plastic things, all of a sudden the picture popped out. And so Holy Spirit, I always think of that analogy, is like that. We put our Holy Spirit glasses on, we get his view, and all of a sudden it all pops out. We go, oh, that's what the enemy is doing, and we can war against that, right? Forgiveness is huge. Repentance is huge. Blood of Jesus, okay? Because we know that he was bruised for our iniquities, right? Iniquities means that's what's been passed down from generation to generation. Bruises are deep. When you get a bruise, it isn't surface level, it's underneath. This is what we want destroyed in our family lines, okay? So let me just pray for you a minute. I hope that encouraged you somewhat to see what the enemy is up to and what he's doing. But our God is like Nehemiah. He's our comforter. He's our consolation. He is the one that is directing us and taking us through this area, this time in this season, to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our nation, and he will bring it to the end, right? He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he will do what he said he will do, for he'll never leave us, never forsake us, and we have been chosen to live in such a time as this. So, Father, I thank you right now. You are doing a mighty work, oh God, and even though the enemy might try to come and use all of his tactics, Father, we thank you that greater are you in us than he that's in the world. And we will rise above this, God, and we will get your vision, we will get your purpose, God, and we will stand as watchmen on the wall, and as those Nehemiah had, we will take our sword in our hand, and we will stand, God, with one hand we build and one hand we fight, Father, and we'll keep our eyes on you, Jesus, and what you're doing, God. And we thank you right now, Father, for this mighty work of what you're doing in our lives, in everyone's life, and in our nation, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you right now that everyone on the call that is searching their hearts, that Holy Spirit, you will bring to their hearts today anything that you want to deal with and they are getting rid of, repenting of, and wanting restoration in all areas of all of our lives, God, all of us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to listening to you and hearing from you some other time. So thank you. Have a wonderful day.